You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Allison Litter from MLB.com, here with my friend Steve Gilbert, who is paying closer attention to the Arizona Diamondbacks than anybody else that I know. And Steve, people that are in our business, anytime they see the name Dr. James Andrews, sirens go off, flashing red lights, panic all around. I'm not so sure that's the situation now with Archie Bradley. So he just went to Dr. Andrews to get a second opinion on a shoulder that I think everyone's trying to figure out what's wrong with it. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, you know, Allison, when he went on the disabled list, he was diagnosed with tendonitis in the shoulder. And he felt he worked on a strengthening program and exercises and that kind of thing. And then when he went out on a rehab assignment, his first rehab start, he didn't feel so great towards the end of it. You know, he still felt some discomfort in his shoulder. So he was concerned. The team, you know, had him come back, did another MRI, and again, it showed that he just had tendonitis in there. But, you know, for him, it's a kind of pain that he's not used to feeling, and it's a concern for him, and so he wants to get a second opinion, so they're going to send him to Dr. Andrews for that. So we'll see. It certainly, anything dealing with the shoulder is always more serious than the elbow these days, and the Diamondbacks have bad memories of, you know, Brandon Webb having some shoulder procedures done, and doctors tell him that he should be fine and good to go. And as we know, he never pitched in the big leagues again after that opening day of 2009. So we'll see what happens with Archie, but it's certainly something that he was concerned about and wanted a little peace of mind from.
This has to be a scary time for him. I mean, like you said, you have these shapes of like Brandon Webb and just times when so much time went by that trying to figure it out, and then all of a sudden, there goes the career. Obviously, they're not there with Archie, but it has to be, like, so scary for him to be in this kind of in-between phase.
I'm sure, because he said, it's something that he's never really experienced before. So, it's got to be always alarming for a pitcher when they experience certain bits of discomfort, and when there's no real – when they don't really feel like the answer that they're getting is a complete one, I'm sure that adds to their anxiety as well.
Well, on the flip side, there's somebody who did undergo extensive surgery on his elbow, Patrick Corbin. So it looks like he's about to come back after spending so much time out with Tommy John surgery. So where does he slot into Diamondback's rotation, and when should we be seeing him?
Yeah, we should be seeing him when they go to Texas next week for a two-game series, interleague series. So that's exciting for him. I know he's been chomping at the bit to get back, and they've done everything they could to take it slow with him and just to make sure that he is fully healthy and that he doesn't rush him, because there's always that tendency when you start to feel good or you start to come back, you want to push things, you want to rush things, and they've really worked with him to try to get him to not do that and to take their time and make sure that he's absolutely ready to be back.
It's kind of nice to just to see that he's close to coming back, and Diamondbacks are sort of right somewhere in the middle there. They probably couldn't have, of course they want it to be, everyone wants to have a perfect record, but I would think that the Diamondbacks feel pretty good about where they are at this phase, that they can get some of the injured guys back.
Alfred, I really think so. I think that, obviously, like you said, that every team would want to be doing better. They want to win all their games. But when you look at this team and where they were last year, they had the worst record in Major League Baseball. And it was just a disaster season for them. And here they are, they're right around the 500 mark. They've had 11 tries at getting back to the 500 mark since April 24th and haven't been able to do it. But nonetheless, they're still right there on the cusp of it. And that's a huge improvement over where they were last year. And certainly a step forward at this point of the season. So I think they have to be somewhat, even if they don't say it, they have to be somewhat happy with the way things have gone thus far.
So that's a good point. Like, how important is 500? obviously it's a benchmark. It means that you are, you know, if you're over 500, you've won more games than you've lost. So everyone wants to have that. Given where this team was last year, given the amount of time that they've almost gotten there, is it important? Is that going to be like something significant when they finally get there? Or are they kind of like, you know, whatever, because we could be below, win one more game? So like how important is the 500 mark to them at this point?
Well, you know, I asked Tony La Russa that the other day, and his comment was, well, we don't want to be a 500 team. We want to be an above 500 team. Of course, to be an above 500 team, you got to eventually get to 500 first. And he used a very, you know, as only Tony can do, does some interesting explanations. He used a two-humped camel as an example. You know, it's not just one hump. It's not just the 500 mark that they have to get over, but to get consistently over the 500 mark is what he would like. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. I think as an organization, if you take a step back and look at where they're at and where they were last year, I think that this should be a year of progress for them. And certainly if they finish around the 500 mark, it'd be hard to look at it as anything but a year of progress for them.
And I want to ask you about Brad Ziegler. So he seems to be liking the closer role. I was looking at his numbers, and of course you're watching these games, so correct me if I'm wrong, but he seems to be thriving in this role. How's the team feeling about the closer role?
Yeah, you know, he did this last year too when they needed him, when J.J. Putz got injured and was not effective and eventually designated for assignment. And when Addison Reed struggled, they turned to Ziegler, and, you know, almost as a last resort. And he pitched well in the role then, and it's almost like that he's a guy that people continually doubt as a closer because he doesn't throw hard. He's got that submarine motion, and, you know, there aren't a lot of closers that throw like that. And I did a story a couple of years ago when he was doing that role. When we went through Pittsburgh, I had him sit down with Kent Acolvi and just listen to the conversation between the two of them as, you know, the outstanding closer for the Pirates in the late 1970s. And so he's a guy that, you know, he's been effective. Whether you think he does it in the way that most closers should or whatnot, he's been great in that role for them. So I think until further notice, he's the guy that's going to get the ball when there's a save situation.
Good for him. Okay, well, Steve, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Allison, it's always my pleasure.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.